And with that peal of feedback, you are now listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show on WGXC. We are live at the Wave Farm today with Victoria Estock's Introduction to Sound class from SUNY Purchase. And we're going to hear some sonic experimentations and audio pieces for the class. And we'll start with Victoria Estock. Thank you for coming up here today.
Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
Can you tell us a little about the class? What is it like, or what are you guys listening to, I guess?
Well, we spend a lot of time listening to a wide variety of things, basically just developing listening skills and introducing the students to sound art as a genre. And then they're also making a lot of projects, so doing sonic experiments, learning recording, digital editing.
And do you guys come with a lot of sound experience before? Have you any people make sound before? Yeah, we got one head shaking over there, shaking that way.
A few musicians, but mostly beginners. Yeah, totally new to sound.
All right. And was there a subject matter that you are tackling today, or? Something like that, or was it limitless, the possibilities?
No, there's going to be a couple of sonic experiments we're going to share with you guys, and then these are actually, the majority of the work is their midterm projects, so they are interpretations of essays that were assigned to them, and they've created audio work from that.
And what the essays are about sound? Or?
Yeah, it's from W.A. Matthews' The Listening Book, right? And so they're kind of, I think they're little gems that are good for them to read, but they may not pick them up on their own at this age. They might think it's a little corny, but their interpretations are really beautiful.
All right. And I guess almost everyone is here. Not everyone is here, right?
Yeah,
so you've got a couple of people filling in for other people with introducing the pieces.
Yeah, I have a student here that's going to introduce a few of the other students' works who were unable to come, a couple flat tires. And then I'm going to introduce some of the students' work that weren't able to make it.
All right. And so introduce your introducer then.
So my introducer here is Christoph Sawyer.
You want a round of applause there?
Thank you.
Proper introduction.
All right. So I'm going to introduce A Dissonant Reality by Mark Matheson and Scott Rivard. A Dissonant Reality is our take on the elements. By elements, we mean the things we normally interact with and hear on a daily basis. The majority of the piece is an attempt to create something harmonious from clashing sounds. By highlighting contrasting sounds, we hope the listener will feel relaxed by the ambient sound, slightly tense with clashes of sound, and then relax once more with the tapping sounds, pick up more melody toward the end.
All right, then, here is A Dissonant Reality.
So that was a sonic experiment by Mark Matheson and Scott Rivard called A Dissonant Reality.
Do you know what those sounds were and how they made that?
Yeah, they were actually wandering all around campus, and they gave me a list of some of the sounds they used, which were the industrial vents they recorded, some like metal screws, some like tapping quarters on various pipes around campus, and some cricket sounds. Yeah.
You have a very sonic campus.
I guess so. They're finding them.
All right. So next up is Lauren Corlett.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren, your piece is called Unlistening.
Yes,
You want to tell us what that something about it or why that title?
Well, Unlistening is the name of the article that my professor gave me from the listening book. And it talks a lot about how people listen to sounds and how they kind of internalize meaning from them, even if the sound itself doesn't have a meaning. So my piece itself is based on the meditation that W.A. Mathieu describes, where he urges us to pay attention to how the sounds make us feel and then strip the emotional response away from the sound itself, which is what he calls unlistening. As he puts it, when thinking calms down, sound wakes up. So each of the sounds I selected for the piece were selected because people usually associate strong emotions with them. And I kind of hope that the listener will keep in mind the meditation as you listen to the piece. Notice how each individual sound makes you feel and try to strip that feeling away so you can hear the sound itself.
All right. So let's be surprised by it, and then we'll ask you some questions afterwards. All right. So this is Unlistening.
When listening calms down, sound wakes up.
All right, that was Lauren Courtlet's Unlistening. Mm-hmm. So you want to tell us something now that we've heard it, something about what all you did there?
I went through a list of sounds that we'd actually compiled in class of things that made people either uncomfortable or very comfortable. So the sound of rain came up a lot as something that was very comfortable, but the sound of a creaking door, for instance, was very uncomfortable. So I kind of combined them to bring out the emotional response that people associate with them.
Yeah, at the same time, so that people are literally soothed and irritated at the same moment?
Pretty much.
So that was a variety of sounds. Did you get them from campus or from sound effects online, or where did you get the sounds?
The majority of the sounds were actually things in my room, so like the creaking door or the buzzing light. I had stripped two of the sounds, the waves and the chewing sound, were from videos that I'd filmed a couple years ago. The chewing one was actually my best friend's dog eating a piece of ice, which I thought that sound was irritating, so I included it. and then I found a rainstorm effect on YouTube that I used.
All right. And how did you record the sounds in your room?
Some of them, for the most part, they were on my phone. And I just held up my phone microphone to whatever was making the sound.
All right. That sounded great. next up, Kristoff, we're going to go back to you, and you're going to introduce another missing introducer.
Yes, I am announcing Ace of Practice by Ron Woblowski. And the essay Ace of Practice wasn't about reinforcing the importance of practice, but more about reinforcing the importance of reminding yourself to practice. I did not care for the instructional vibe the readings presented, so I created a casual piece to contradict the readings. You hear the everyday sounds and mountaining directions of a person's life while they try to remind themselves to practice.
The Ace of Practice. Getting yourself to practice regularly is like getting yourself to floss your teeth. Or write your folks regularly. Or meditate. Write down the time you intend to practice the next day, and for how long. For instance, on Tuesday evening, write Wednesday, 2 o'clock, 20 minutes.
Oh, damn.
Even if you have to write Wednesday, 2 o'clock, 10 seconds, do that.
Thursday, 3 o'clock. I'll give myself an hour.
If you are flirting with the idea of practice, it means something is tugging at you under the surface. Something worth investigating. Worth making a breathing hole for.
I'm 5 years old, and I'm sitting under a tree with my mom.
All right, the last bit was the next piece, so we spilled over there. We were so enthralled listening, we missed the transition there for a second. But that was...
Ron Blavatsky.
Yeah, where are you? Yes, there. Ace of Practice by Ron Blavatsky?
Yep, Ron Blavatsky, yep.
All right, and Lucas is here next. Lucas Chin, is that it right?
Yes.
And you have a piece called Resonance?
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about it? You want to tease us with it a little bit. Don't give away too much.
Yes, so when I was making this piece, I was thinking of this question the whole time, and how would you define your childhood through only 5 moments in time? And so I was like thinking about this question, and this is what you're going to hear.
All right, so let's let Resonance roll.
I'm 5 years old, and I'm sitting under a tree with my mom. It's September, and the apples are hard and green on the branches.
Lucas, you remember those two towers? The Twin Towers in Manhattan? Some planes crashed into them, and a lot of people got hurt, and some people died. You know Yusuf and Jinan? Their dad died.
I remember the tree they planted at my school. It was planted for the whole 9/11 disaster, but for me, it's Yusuf and Jinan's dad's tree. It's still there now, being a fun playmate for young children and a soft reminder for older folk. The tree at my school isn't an apple tree, but it might as well be. Resonance is like that. I'm 7 and I'm picking at the gum on the roof of the car in the back seat.
Down the road came a carriage drawn by 5 fine white chargers. Riding in the carriage was the wealthy brother. The wealthy brother looked ahead. The sun was setting, and there, perched at the top of a hill, stood an inn, the sun blazing behind it. Well, the wealthy brother instructed his driver to go to the inn. Out walked the wealthy brother. He walked in. He bought himself a creaking table laden with fine foods, a soft feather bed, and
I'm 10, and it's my first time at sleepaway camp. As we stop singing, the music lingers there, softly dying like a sunset, resonating. I'm 15 years old, and it's 6 a.m. in Central Park. I see the sun peer over the skyscrapers, stretching and yawning as it comes up. I walk 5 blocks away and turn around to see the first light of the sun for the second time. Morning resonance. I'm 16, and I make some bagel bites in the microwave. My love for the delicious, savory kind of fake bagel pizzas, and the microwave singing to me, telling me that it's done. Resonance. I'm 17 and I share my last meal with my jazz trumpet teacher. He has a bagel with butter and I have a turkey panini. He taught me how to play the C note on the trumpet in perfect intonation. He taught me how to improvise by just feeling the musical notes around me. He made me laugh, joked around, and showed me how to just be a person. I'm 17 and I'm at my trumpet teacher's funeral.
What can purge my heart of the song and the sadness? What can purge my heart but the song of the sadness? What can purge my heart of the sadness of the song? Do not speak of sorrow with dust in her hair or bits of dust in eyes. A chance wind blows there. The sorrow that I speak of is dusted with despair. Voice of muted trumpet, cold brass in warm air. Bitter television blurred by sound that shimmers. Where?
All right, that was Lucas Chin and Resonance. You want to tell us some more about that now?
Yeah, so I had this essay that I was going to be inspired from, and he wrote, W.A. Matthew wrote this whole essay talking about things that resonated with him, and he spoke of experiences, and he started out with like, oh, I'm 21 and I'm on the beach. And so I decided I wanted to do something like that, except create my own experiences and develop like a whole narrative story. And so that's what I did.
Was it a true narrative story, or did you make it, because you made up, so I didn't know if it was made up or real, based on reality.
No, that was all true. And a lot of this, the sounds that you heard were actually like the real sounds, like the trumpet you heard. I actually had a recording of my old trumpet teacher that I just had in on my computer, and like the singing of the kids of our chorus. That was me at camp singing last summer.
And have you read before? You had this really great offhand kind of style that was not too formal, but very good. Your reading was very good.
Thank you. No, I haven't. I do listen to like This American Life and a lot of those kind of podcasty shows. And we had just listened to a Scott Carrier little thing in our first class at Intro to Sound, and so I was pretty influenced by that, and that's really cool.
And I guess the subject matter resonated with you, so it was made the project probably more special than a normal assignment.
Yeah.
All right. So next up is Erica Vitucci.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
And your piece is called "The Way the Eyes Are with the Ears."
Yes.
You want to give us a little explanation about that before we hear it?
Yes, that's the name of the poem by Matthews. It's basically about opening your ears, and I tried to just turn that into opening your ears, turn it into closing your eyes in order to open your ears better. I just kind of turned it into like a personal experience of closing my eyes and wrote a reaction poem to it, and about how the sense of sight could distract you from what's really going on in front of you, especially if your vision gets distorted by your mind. So I hope that would help the poem.
All right, let's listen.
Senses at some point, where my detrimental logic and dysmorphia caused me to abandon reality, fixating on visual interpretations of myself, by myself, until I finally closed my eager eyes, and my mom wasn't singing me a lullaby, but the soft wind on my head laying still enough that even the sound of my pulse moving back and forth creates enough waves of static, it could be just and peace-loving as Beethoven's Seventh. Your eyes are hungry. I want to close my eyes and listen to an entire candle burn until the wax is melted flat. I read online that if the bottom of a glass candle holder cracks at the end, it means you'll make a breakthrough in a situation. Consider breaking glass a blessing. I'm not a very spiritual person, but I like the concept. Maybe I just like the sound of shattering glass. Once in a while, Your brain clears up while your eyes are open. A remarkable stage when the eyes concentrate and freeze long enough to give the ears more listening room in the skull, like a monotone stare. My Swami eyes have taught me that that's when my listening skills are at their prime. I'll feed my ears as this glaze distracts me. Let's just stare at each other all the time. This way we'll always be genuine. Do I sound erratic and demented, or am I low on brain energy? Naturally staring straight forward means that everything being heard and nothing being seen or looked at or judged. This gaze I'll anticipate for the sake of my desire to feed my ears with pleasure and amusement rather than accommodate to the darkness of my sense of sense. I've been given an unfamiliar power. Listen to the sounds you are hearing now. Notice how the eyes are with the ears. Your eyes are hungry. Notice how the eyes are with the ears.
All right, that was Erica Vitucci and The Way the Eyes Are with the Ears. Yes?
Yeah.
And so what else sounds did you use to put all that together?
Well, I used my voice first, obviously. And I used a contact microphone and a microphone I borrowed that picks up sound from light. So I use mainly sounds... like from natural elements that I recorded from, you know, types of microphones that that could pick up sounds that I couldn't really hear without this like interesting technology that I had never known existed before.
Nah,
having this class,
that makes a lot of sense. It reminded me of this piece by Professor Kristen Lucas, who she used to teach at Bard, and I think is now at UT in Austin, is that right? And she's pretending to be this person who has this electromagnetic problem and can't be on the Earth anymore because she disrupts everything. And so she's out in a spaceship above the Earth, outside of the electromagnetic field, and telling the story. That sounds a little similar the way you're telling. The other thing that reminded me of is... the subject matter is a lot, it seems like about deep listening. I don't know if you guys are studying Paulina Oliveras at all. Getting into that, yeah. Did you have any influences on that piece?
No, I've never heard of that.
I didn't think maybe those people, I guess you've any influences in your own background that brought you to making it sound that way?
From outer space?
No. I just mean from terrestrial sound sources, I guess.
No, not very much.
All right. And that was your first sound piece you've done, or?
Finished sound piece. Yeah, I was playing with, you know, editing programs a lot before that. I'm enjoying it. It was
all right. Well, that was great. So next up is. Brendan, and Brendan, I don't see Brendan in the room. He's not in the room, right? There's a lot of people in the room, but
yeah, no, Brendan has a flat tire. He was supposed to be here, but he couldn't make it. So I'm going to introduce his piece Electric Sheep for him by Brendan Noonan. So Brendan was assigned the essay Singing with Machines, which essentially teaches the reader to listen to the machines around them and kind of hum with them and listen to the dial tone. Excuse me. But really the main message from that essay is that music can be anything and anywhere, and it's up to the listener to make the music. And so the majority of the recordings in this piece are from the average iPhone, right? And so he wanted to show that you could make a really great piece just with your phone.
And he did the editing on the phone too?
That I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know the larger devices have audio editing. I don't know if you can do that on a phone, but probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
All right. This is Brendan Noonan and Electric Sheep.
Yeah.
We need to know that machines don't control us. We need to sing to them in order to recognize that they sing to us. So, tell me, Emma, what's the definition of a machine?
An apparatus consisting of interrelated parts with separate functions used in the performance of some kind of work.
Okay. So, how about the definition of singing?
Okay, let me see. Oh, here it is. Utter words or sounds in succession with musical modulation with the voice.
So, let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible for machines to sing?
Oh, but of course it is. Don't be rude. Of course we can sing. Obviously not all of us can sing quite as beautifully as I can.
Well, all right then. Somebody is a little conceited.
Well, let's hear it then.
I told you. I still don't understand why you doubt me.
Well, aren't you just hilarious?
She has no idea what she's talking about. She didn't even use a voice.
Well, I guess that brings upon the question, do we really need a voice to make music? I'm not sure.
Please, you just like her better because she has an accent. Fine.
Well, I guess really anything can make music, from your refrigerator to a traffic light to the hum of a dial tone. You can sing along. It's easy. Machines make music. It comes from everywhere. I hear the music. Music is love. Music is life. Music can tell a story. What's so special about music? When I listen to music, it takes me to another world. Music can take away. Music can give. Music is life. Music is inspiring. It flows. So, the point of the story is that music is everywhere. You just have to pay attention. Look closely. And look even closer. The music is there. You just have to find it. Start looking.
Am I done here? I'm over singing.
Sorry, can you even sing?
You wouldn't like it.
I'm sure I would.
I don't know what that means. If you like, I can search the web for "I'm sure I would please sing me a song."
Sorry, sing me a song.
Okay, if you insist. I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching, while my thoughts were busy hatching, if I only had a, hey, wait a second.
Siri, do you have a brain?
I can't answer that.
Why?
You see things, and you say, why? But I dream things that never were, and I say, why not?
Siri, what else do you dream about when you sleep?
Electric sheep, but only sometimes.
Like?
Let me think. I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
All right, that ended abruptly. Well, we weren't quite ready for that ending there, were we? And that was Brendan Noonan and Electric Sheep.
Yep.
Do you know anything about how he made that, or...?
I just know that primarily he was using his phone, and I just thought it was one of a really great kind of whimsical piece that a lot of people could relate to because they're always on their phones, right? So there's some humor in there. I don't know. It was a good interpretation of the essay "Singing with Machines."
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Victoria Estock and her introduction to sound class from SUNY Purchase, and we're listening in to a bunch of. Sonic experiments and audio pieces that the students created. And who is next? It looks like, oh, it's Megan's next, yes? Whoops, no, now you're on there.
Okay.
So this is Megan Haug?
Haug.
And your piece is called Easy to Miss Music.
Yes. So that piece is also from the listening book, like the other midterms from the class. And my piece is also called Technologic, and it's based off of the Daft Punk song Technologic. The focus of my essay was on the musicality of the little songs in our everyday lives. So, like, if you think of the pitch of a hot glue gun and how short and low that is, and then compare it to, like, nails on a chalkboard or another sound, they sound completely different and can have completely different meanings. So I used this technique to turn a techno song into an experimental piece. So each lyric in the song has its own sound and beat, and Technologic is about creating music from non-traditional instruments.
All right, so this is easy to miss music.
Technologic, technologic, technologic.
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 All right, that was Easy to Miss Music by Megan Haug.
Yes.
I said it right this time. So how did you make that? Was it as many edits as it seemed?
Yes, it probably is. I think I used about 300 different edits in the course of this song. So basically every lyric has its own sound. So for Buy It, it's a cash register. And then some of them are really literal. And then some of them for Break It is pills dropping on the ground. Oh, Trash
it's
It is
a
me.
Code.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you continue with that? I didn't mean
so some of them are like Trash It is legitimately me taking the trash out of my room and it's hitting the floor. And some of them are Zoom It, like how you'd zoom on a Mac, the sound that it makes when your fingers hit the keyboard.
I was going to ask if some of these were if it was patterns, and I guess it is because the chorus repeats, so the sounds repeat then in the same sequence.
They do, and what I realized while making this piece is they don't repeat in the same order every time, which is really difficult to edit in the end.
Mm, so there was less copying and pasting than there could have been.
Exactly.
And so what was the most difficult part, I guess, just going through and making all the edits, I guess, the cuts?
I guess one of the most difficult parts and one of the funnest parts to do was actually recording all of the sounds and deciding what they would all be. Because I think I did about 50 different songs for all the different lyrics. So it was just fun to, I was in my room recording with my iPhone because I found it was a really great recorder that had such high quality for what I needed it to be. And I was just making all these ridiculous sounds, like dropping grass, dropping vases and breaking CDs. A ton of fun. It was difficult to do. It took a whole afternoon, but it was worth it.
And what did you? What audio program did you edit it in?
I used Audacity to edit in. I find it works really well. I think I had 13 different layers in the end.
Wow, that's a lot of work. So that was really great. We enjoyed that one a lot. So next is Adonis Cologne. Colin, oops,
yeah.
There
Colin,
you are. And,
yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be under the table either.
No, unfortunately he couldn't be here. So he sent along a little thing he'd like me to read, though. So what he wrote was, his piece is called Listening to a String, and he said that the essay was about finding a meditative space that enlarges when you concentrate on listening to a single sound of a plucked string. W.A. Matthews suggests that the act of listening can help connect us with our capacity to make music. In my work, I want to evoke the process of meditative focus, but also to express the deep musicality of the sounds around us. In the words of Lou Reed, everything is music.
All right, so let's hear Adonis Cologne's Listening to a String.
Musical tone can boil thoughts away. Notice how thoughts crowd in, and notice the various stages of their evaporation. This is the open secret of making music. A stretched string shows how music transforms energy. Compare ocean water whipping about on a windy day with water streaming through a high-pressure hose. The trapped force becomes a musical vibration that dissipates gradually. A sudden blow becomes calm radiance. When you identify with the sound, you become likewise ordered by a kind of resonance. You are tuned by the string. Your hidden string speaks. Your experience of tone is unique and secret. This is the original language you've forgotten. As listening itself becomes hollow like a flute, the source language returns.
All right, you're listening to WGXC. This is the Saturday afternoon show, and I'm Tom Moreau in the Wave Farm Study Center, and we just heard Listening to a String by Adonis Colon, one of the students in Victoria Estock's Introduction to Sound class from SUNY Purchase, who are visiting today at 90.7 WGXC ACRA. And we have one more student project, and this is a live performance here in the studio. We've got Alonzo Thompson, Kevin Egbert, and Evan Nolan. Did I get those names at all right?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
All right. And what you've got a virtual theremin in the studio? Is that what it is?
Virtual theremin.
Well, basically, like, the idea of the project that we have was, like, based on, like, last trip that we had. It was in Curramon Center of Music, and we were taking a tour around the field, and we noticed a theremin was on display, and we tested, and it was like something that we never seen before, so we went to try to test it out. And essentially it's like amplitude and pitch mapped, and it compares to like the X and Y coordinates. So that's what we attempted on this project.
It was an early invention in the early 20th century, I guess. Leon Theremin, this Russian scientist and inventor, he came up with all kinds of things, and the Russians stole him back to Russia from New York to work on military equipment for 20 or 30 years, I think, in Russia. And there's a whole crazy documentary about him that you can see. But so what are you going to do with this Theremin?
So essentially what we did was we found this program called Handy. And it's a program that's still in development, and basically what it does is, as far as I can tell, is it recognizes the shape of the hand, and it maps, it basically tracks the motion of the hand. So we use this program called Pure Data in conjunction with Handy, and Pure Data is this really cool visual programming language that's open source, and it's all free, so anybody could use it. And we basically use Handy and Pure Data to map the motion of the cursor with the motion of the hand. And then,
so it turns the computer into a theremin.
Yeah, it turns the computer into a theremin.
Yeah, so realistically, all that Pure Data is doing, there's two different things. Essentially, we coded oscillators. So basically, that's going through, and there's a digital audio conversion. And then realistically, after that, the program is just recognized to the mouse cursor. So depending on where the cursor is on the screen, the sound will change. Where Handy comes in is just... it's after the fact. The sound is already being created in Pure Data, but Handy is actually kind of our way of creating, basically a way for it to be an actual instrument, so you can use it to...
Yeah, that's what makes it the theremin, because the theremin, right, you know, functions on the motion. So without the physical motion, it wouldn't be much of anything besides just a you know, screen tracking sound system. But basically, I mean, we can turn it on now if you want to try.
And we don't have to keep very still because it's only going to track your hand.
It's only going to track my hand, and it uses my webcam to do it, so I take off the headphones. And it might be a slightly annoying tone, but we'll see. And so now it's caught my hand, and I can shift the tone. And the higher the pitch and amplitude is to the right hand of the screen, and lower and up would even... Here we go. And so we tried to create lots of different tones. We could turn that one off and try it. I'm trying a different one.
You're choosing the source material for the theremin. Then when you hold your hand up, it alters that source material.
Well, like I said, Handy only controls the mouse cursor movement. But in Pure Data, what we did was basically we can change the oscillators and how the oscillators and phasers work. And so right now, I think Kevin was mostly in, active in changing the tones of the sounds. So he could probably do more explanation as to why each tone is different from the last one. I think this one right now has just one oscillator, whereas the other one had an oscillator and a phaser. So let's try it. And now there we go. It's connected again.
And you can't, we can't even show you some of the hand gestures he's making if this was television.
there we go.
And people might know the theremin best from 50 science fiction movies, I guess, and it's appropriate for Halloween here today.
Definitely.
Yeah, for us, the idea was that in creation, in creating music, a lot of it is about, you know, the physical playing of the instrument, the connection between the hands and the guitar or the piano or the keyboard if you're making, like, digital music. But how can we just make it purely about the body, like separate from actually physically touching an instrument? How can we use the body itself to create music? And so that was just a really cool idea that was provoked. I mean, I wasn't able to go on the Caramore Music Center trip, but I had a similar idea, so it was just like serendipitous that we both thought of using the body to create music as opposed to just using an instrument, the body as an instrument.
And are you guys musicians, or have you done music before? Or are you just approaching sound? How are you approaching sound?
I've played music a little bit, but I'm approaching it more from a philosophy side of it, like what is music, you know, that kind of idea. I know Kevin is a musician.
On occasion. So I think we tried to kind of approach it more from like a sound aspect, you know what I mean? I know that I had really never seen anything like a theremin until that trip, so that was like, I was with Alonzo talking about it afterwards, and that was just like shocking, you know, never seen something like that. So I think this class in general too, we try to approach it from, you know, outside of a music standpoint, at least try to. So that's the goal.
All right, anything else you guys want to add?
We were trying to think about where we could take this. I was trying to maybe figure out if we can use, instead of just mapping the hand, maybe figuring out a way to map the whole body, so that instead of maybe, you know, you have music and then you dance, maybe you could dance and then create the music, have the music created by the physical motion of the body, and, you know, what differences could a different body, you know, what kind of music could be created? So I thought it was really interesting.
The more people on the dance floor that...
Exactly.
Get into it, then it changes the whole thing, and it becomes, instead of a DJ, is you're basically letting the crowd be the DJ.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought that was a really cool like possibility.
Well, you guys got to work on that. That's probably going to take a little longer than
this. Oh yeah, most definitely.
All right, Victoria, is there anything else you guys have to add, or you don't have a microphone anymore over there? They took all your mics.
No, just thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you guys all for coming up today from SUNY Purchase. We'll have the sound files up on the website shortly if listeners missed anything at the beginning and they want to tune back in, or you guys want to send links to anybody at all. But thanks for coming to the Waveform today.
Thank you
very much
for having us.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom.
All right. This has been the WGXC Saturday Afternoon Show. We'll be back with more in a few moments. Stay